Now, back to the heavy hitters.
Well, now that Shane is dead, I guess we know who is Goose.
Oh, my God.
Shane is Goose. Because in that motion picture, Goose dies, so Shane is dead, so he would be Goose.
On the all-new 590 The Fan.
I'm Tom Cruise, guys.
105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back into the Frank and Helen's Pizzeria Studios. Mike Keenan is taking charge of a Chinese hockey team. The longtime NHL coach has been hired to lead Chinese club, the Kunlu Red Star, which competes in the Russian-based KHL. In case anyone still cares, former President Barack Obama is picking North Carolina, shocker there, to win the NCAA men's basketball tournament over Duke. Last year, Obama had Kansas winning it all in his bracket. The Jayhawks lost to eventual champion Villanova in the Elite Eight. He also has Kansas and Arizona in his Final Four this year. There you go, Buffalo. You're in good shape. You and Barack.
There you go.
The Minnesota Vikings have signed free agent running back Latavius Murray, the team announced Thursday. Murray's deal is for 3 years but can be voided after 1 year, a leaked source told ESPN. Murray took to Instagram saying he will not wear the number 28 out of respect for Adrian Peterson.
I don't know what makes me smile more, the thought of Chinese basketball or the thought of Chinese hockey. For some reason, both of those just kind of make me...
Chinese hockey.
Kind of make me chuckle a little bit.
I actually wrote an article last year about the Red Star.
Being coached?
Did you really?
Yeah, because they were a part of that game where that guy beat up 16 people.
He beat up 16 people?
Yeah, he just fought the entire team. So it's kind of like... That was the Red Star.
So it's like Sean William Scott and Goon? Nice.
No. Have you ready for Goon 2?
Oh, yeah. It's Lieb, man. Ross the Boss Ray. It's best
from the couple texts coming in from the 314, it's Slow Meester, not Bo Meester. That's not bad.
Either way.
By position, you can protect. That's also from the 314 and from the 618. Fabry and Pareko are on the exempt list, so they don't have to be protected. So two players that they do not have to worry about. Very happy to have a guest in the studio with us, Clay Byersdorfer. You can follow him on Twitter at TonOfClayton. He is a writer for RedbirdDaily.com. Clay, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
You thank you for getting the last name right on first try.
You said kind of divide it into two. Byersdorfer.
It's a long one.
Because I was asking you today, I was like, okay, I want to get this right. I was like, Byersdorfer, or just one shot.
That's
just
like Nicaraguan, is that?
It's not Latino. Okay. I know that comes as a surprise.
I'm very surprised.
Many people screwed that up, but yeah. No, thank you very much. Happy to be here.
What's the most times you like? What's the biggest butcher you've heard of this name?
Gosh, someone threw a Z in there one time, and I was just like, buddy, you're not even
Byersdorfer.
Byersdorfer, and it, honestly, I'm still trying to figure it out today. Sometimes I jack it up, just to mess with people, but. I'm still learning every day.
Now, Kalea, I will have to say, there's a full bio you have on Twitter. A writer for River Daily, yep. Mizzou alum, veteran, terrible comedian, ego-eating champion. Now, are you a waffle-eating champion? Is that waffles, or is there a different kind of product you're talking about?
No, ego waffles.
Oh, man.
I once ate over 40 in one sitting by choice.
Over 40. That means you can probably challenge my kid. My kid can just pound them three at a time.
Yeah,
were they pounded smothered in butter and syrup, or what were they?
The only way to eat them, honestly, if you're eating them any other way, you're a psychopath.
Wait, what?
Syrup and butter?
You got to do syrup and butter, because if you're just toasting them and standing over your
toaster. Now, do you fill the holes, like a couple holes with syrup, butter all over?
Buffy, you're doing it all right. You got to literally just, let the butter melt and then drain them in syrup.
Oh, man, this is scientific.
Just go all in.
I want chicken and waffles now.
Giamatti, find the Anchorman line. It's science.
Just brawn.
Was this a timed event, or is this something where you could eat 40 at your leisure? You're just kind of like, I'm kind of hungry, and next thing you know, 40 Eggo waffles are gone.
It was timed in the fact that I did it till I brought myself to tears, and then it was just like, I should probably stop doing this.
I got
you. So if you want to time it that way, then yes, probably about 20 minutes.
We have hot dog competition, then we have a waffle contest.
Well, I was going to say, have you ever tried that with any other food?
No,
just
no.
Waffles. Just waffles.
Right. I just did it with waffles, and then I realized I'm fat, and I need to quit.
Hey, so, I got you.
Yeah, that's a good wake-up call. Now, you know, what got my attention, you've been writing for River Daily. What, he's had it going for, what, about a month now or maybe more?
It's about two months in.
2 months in. Yeah. John Nagel, who a.k.a. Cardinals Farm. I used to write for his site when it was cardinalsfarm.com that he stopped. I think it was 2015. I think he stopped that one. Took a little bit of time off. He's written all over. He started Redbird Daily. He recruited you and a bunch of other, I mean, sabermetrical, like, geniuses when it comes to telling what a pitch is going to do when it leaves the pitcher's hand. But you wrote a piece a couple weeks ago about comparing, this is a great piece, Adam Wainwright this year to Hugh Jackman's Logan in the movie. That really thought, like, nobody else, first thing is, I'm not going to find that piece anywhere else on the internet.
You will not. You will also probably not find someone like me anywhere else on the internet.
Yeah. Unique.
No, unique. I like to describe myself. John formed a really great team with the Redbird Daily. You kind of said it yourself. We have a great collection of guys who know, you know, Cardinals baseball across the board. You know, whether it be statistical analysis, minor league analysis. You know, knowing prospects up and down the board. I kind of bring a little bit different flavor, if you want to, you know, look at it that way, in the fact that...
Thank you for that.
It's good.
Yeah, I like to bring a little bit more lighthearted, aspect to it. I like to think of it as I'm an average Cardinal fan, and I like to write for the average Cardinal fan.
Hoist
and,
the fan.
Yeah, I hoist the fan, because not every fan that comes to the ballpark understands, you know, all those numbers and all the, you know, the super, super in-depth pieces. We do have those diehard Cardinals fans who get into the numbers and things like that. But I like to I like to write those satirical type of articles and write for the common guy.
But it also, it makes sense. It's not like you're just kind of having, you're not like, you know, blowing it up with pop culture references like I can do, or like Hockman can do. Hockman's good, but also he can use them as well. But he also mixes in, like you do, knowledgeable stuff about the team.
Yeah, yeah. Hock does a really great job. And, I do like to include those numbers as well. And, I've been around the game my entire life, and, I have some really great friends that I, bounce ideas off of, and I think that's one of the best parts about the Redbird Daily is, there's an ongoing dialogue all the time. We're always bouncing ideas off each other, and, you know, what works and what doesn't work, and it's a constant dialogue, almost annoyingly how many DMs I get in my Twitter feed every day.
What player has impressed you the most so far this spring?
When you talk about spring training, it's hard not to bring up Jose Martinez and the spring, you know, that he's had. I think, it's really surprised everybody. If that guy doesn't make the club, John Mozeliak and Mike Matheny definitely did something wrong, honestly, in my opinion. He's just really opened everybody's eyes, and, he definitely deserves a longer look coming out of the spring for sure.
People tell me I'm crazy. I think he's going to take some playing time away from Randall Grichuk in left field.
You know, that wouldn't surprise me. He could definitely move into left, and, you know, you could see some lineups, where he plays left and Randy moves over to center to give Dexter some time off, definitely, too. He could definitely play some first base for us as well. So a lot of interesting value that Jose brings to the club.
Clay, I know you've been talking to your inside sources here, so give me the scoop. Given the recent injury to Ian Desmond, what's the likelihood of Matt Adams getting traded to Colorado?
Well, there we go.
The likelihood.
What are your sources saying?
My sources tell me I'll tell you this much. I would like to see it happen. I'd like to get us, a little bit of return in that. Honestly, I don't see where Matt Adams really fits in our ball club right now. With the way, especially that Jose has played, and I think Tommy Pham, I'm not really excited about him, honestly, but I think that he probably does fit better in the outfield as a fifth outfield option. Some of the guys that are still going to be in AAA, I just really don't see where, you know, Matt fits in the ball club right now. So to me, it's better to move him as an asset while he's still, you know, he's picking it up a little bit right now.
Do you think his spring numbers give him some more value? Because at the end of last season, let's face it, he didn't have much value because there were talks about this last season.
Sure.
Do you think he's added some value to his stock?
I mean, if you would have looked at what he was doing at the beginning of the spring, I would have told you absolutely not. But, you know, he's definitely picked it up as late. For a club like, Colorado right now, I give him a real hard look. And, you know, definitely, yeah.
What would you say is a reasonable rate of return, though, on someone like Matt Adams? Is it going to be a draft pick, maybe a double-A prospect? I mean, if you're just going to trade just Matt Adams alone, you can't be expecting a whole lot back from him.
Well, you're not going to get a major league ready player
for
this, obviously. But for a Cardinals team that's, definitely lacking in draft pick compensation right now, if I'm Mozeliak, I'm hopping all over that. If they're out, if they're going to offer draft pick compensation, especially in the earlier rounds, possibly, 1 through 10 maybe, if you can get it, I'd take it.
And really, when it comes to Matt Adams, the case I made yesterday in my article, I was like, he just can't go to – I don't think he has any value when he's playing in Memphis. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy that, especially with the scare to Matt Carpenter, he can back up first base. He's actually a smooth defender over there. And I thought last season I was perplexed by the way he didn't have any trade value, because in limited time last year, he had 16 home runs. He slugged .471. His average went down to .249. But I do agree that I think it could be like a Jaime Garcia thing, where you're just wanting to get him off your roster, get something for him, clear the way. But what do you think the likelihood, other than Matt Adams, let's put it this way, who doesn't finish the season on the Cardinals? Who do you think, if the Cardinals need a trade midseason, who gets traded? Like, who's the most likely trade piece for this team?
Well, to me, you look at it really depends on where the Cardinals are at, honestly, within the standings. I think that's something you kind of take a hard look at, too. If they're contenders, they may be buyers, they may be sellers. You look at the starting pitching rotation, too, and kind of see where they're at. A guy like Luke Weaver, might be a real hot commodity. You look at a guy like Trevor Rosenthal, depending on where he's at. Michael Wacha, depending on how he bounces back. All those guys are really, to me, potential trade candidates, depending on really how they they bounce back this year. And if, those guys get hot at the right time, they could be, traded for potential replacements. Especially, when you have issues, like second base where Colton Wong, we really don't know how he's going to bounce back this year. No. Maybe the Cardinals look for an upgrade at second base, possibly.
And he's a mystery.
Yeah,
right,
God. Don't even get me started on Colton Wong, but
segment for that.
Yeah, we hold a whole different segment for that. So, maybe they start looking outside and trade one of those, potential starting rotation pieces for an upgraded second base.
Magnus Sierra got sent to A-ball in Palm Beach. So far, he's proven at 20 years old he can rake. Now in A-ball, completely different story.
Right.
Should he succeed in A-ball, how old will he be if he gets into a Cardinals uniform? He's 20 years old.
20 years old.
And the Cardinal way is to let's let these guys stick around the minors for a little bit too long, yeah. I.e. Colby Rasmus. I say Reyes. Most people disagree. I thought he should have been brought up way sooner. Mm-hmm. That's just me.
I think it's a little bit different when you look at pitchers versus hitters. Hitters especially, I think, take a little bit more time to develop. I think the thing with Sierra is, yes, he can rake, but I think what the Cardinals are looking for a little bit more right now is whether he's more of an average guy or as opposed to a power guy, if he's a more of a gap-to-gap type hitter. Sierra is definitely, right now, he's a singles guy, and he's definitely going to hit those doubles and occasional triples. But right now I want to see more power out of him.
Plays a nasty center field.
Incredible, incredible defender. So I'd really like to see him progress through A, and maybe if he can even get to double A by the end of the year, and then we'll really see, I think, what kind of player he can become.
Realistic expectation for the team this year. Where are they going to finish? I mean, do they have any chance of winning the division? Is it going to be the first wild card spot, second wild card spot? Is it going to be like last year where they just missed by the hair of their chinny chin chin?
Honestly, and I did a piece for Redbird Daily. The Vegas odds right now are 87 wins, 87.5 wins, and I took the under for that. And I think that puts them right in the contention for their first wild card spot.
Mm-hmm.
To me, there are just a lot of question marks. I think there's a lot of talent on the club, and I think this is definitely a team that still can really, really compete. But you look at the starting pitching rotation, a lot of guys are bouncing back. A lot of guys, there's a guy in Trevor Rosenthal who's trying to convert from a reliever to a starter. And in the lineup, there's not a lot of power. There's a lot of guys who can hit line drives and stuff like that. But to me, it's not a club that can win a division, especially when you have the likes of the Chicago Cubs, who are, you know, still the perennial contender in that division.
Well, Clay, this has been fun. You're more than welcome to hang out with us for the rest of the show.
We got some movie talk next.
Unless you got someplace you got
to
go.
I have nowhere to be. I'll be more than happy to hang out.
All right, perfect.
Clay Byersdorfer, eh?
Yeah, let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by our friend Kevin Brackett from RealSpoilers.com. You're listening to The Heavy Hitters, and we are live from the Frank and Helen's Pizzeria Studios right here on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.